Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today's show, we're on the road from the nation's capital for Veterans Day with our national team behind the disabled American veterans. We're going to talk about that and a lot of good topics today, but first it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
In 1914, a Blackfoot Indian named Red Fox James rode horseback across the country seeking approval for a day to honor American Indians. On December 14, 1915, he presented endorsements from 24 state governments at the White House, but despite his best efforts, a national day was never proclaimed. That changed in 1990 when President George H.W. Bush proclaimed November as National American Indian Heritage Month. Every year since 1994, Americans celebrate what is now known as Native American Heritage Month. As we recognize their vibrant culture, we must also remember the painful history they've endured. Despite centuries of forced assimilation and injustice, Native Americans held on to their traditions and languages. That kind of perseverance proved vital in World War II when Native American code talkers helped turn the tides of battle by providing rapid and undecipherable communications using their various tribal languages. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, please join me in celebrating and remembering the invaluable contributions of Native Americans throughout the history of our nation.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're on the road today from the nation's capital. It is Veterans Day 2019, and I'm here with our national commander, Butch Whitehead of the DAV. And Butch, it's been fabulous. You've invited us out here for Veterans Day 2019. We were out to Arlington Cemetery this morning, and it's been quite a day, but thanks for having us out.
Absolutely. I'm glad you could make it, Tom.
Now, some of our listeners may not be aware, you've been on the radio with me a lot over the last decade or so. You were the adjutant of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, but a few years ago you started going through the chairs for a national office.
Yep, so in August of this year I actually had the honor to be elected as the national commander for the DAV.
And that's about as high an honor as you probably thought you were going to get.
Never, ever did I ever think I'd get that chance to be it, but it's truly been an honor and it's been a lot of fun doing it too.
And because of that, you spent some time out here in Washington, D.C., where you've got, DAV's got a big office and a lot of staff.
You know, I've spent over a week out here now in the D.C. office and trying to see all the great things that our staff's doing out here and learning and participating in all of the different things that the national organization is doing. And I'll tell you, the DAV team out here is doing a lot of great work when it comes to our legislative work and fighting for disabled veterans.
Now, we've talked quite a bit back in Minnesota about DAV of Minnesota, about putting vans in place to get our veterans to their medical appointments and hunting and fishing and all the things you do for the veterans and clothing drives. And DAV of Minnesota is a really busy organization. But what have you learned about the national DAV?
You know, all the work that goes into the advocating for our benefits, you know, out here, our legislative office out here is constantly talking with people on the Hill, other organizations, and really making sure that our veterans' voices are being heard and that our elected officials are doing what they promised they would do, and that's take care of us veterans.
So out here, when Congress is in session, all the veteran service organizations are here. We used to talk about the Commander's Task Force back in Minnesota, but there's even more veteran service organizations on a national basis.
Well, just this morning I learned that we had a lot more organizations than I ever thought of as well, this morning at the Arlington Cemetery.
I think we better talk about that. We're talking with Butch Whitehead, the national commander of the DAV. We're on the road in Washington, D.C., and we spent the morning up at Arlington National Cemetery. And Butch, as you had the honor of, as commander this year, of being honored to place a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
You know, Tom, as I was telling you earlier, you know, when I grabbed that wreath and I started walking across, and you get a chill in down your back just thinking of what that means about that wreath and what it represents and about putting the wreath in front of all those that didn't make it, that have not come home yet, and that the work that we do here at the DAV, we're making sure that they're not forgotten and that their loved ones that are still back here hoping that they come home, we're continuing to make sure that their voices are being heard and that our elected officials are taking care of them.
Butch, I want to back up a little bit. This day started, Veterans Day 2019, with a breakfast that you and your bride went to.
Yeah, this morning I had an honor to go have breakfast this morning with VA Secretary Wilkie. It was a great breakfast. He had a great speech to us, talked about some of the changes that the VA is going through and that the changes that he's overseeing. And it was a great time to meet other organizations, but also some of the key VA employees as well.
Then after breakfast, they bust you all over to Arlington National Cemetery, which for our listeners, if you haven't been there, that should be on your bucket list.
It definitely needs to be on the bucket list. If they've not seen Arlington Cemetery, that's definitely, I encourage anybody and everybody, veteran or not a veteran, you need to come out and see the Arlington Cemetery.
And, of course, it's how would you describe it? I mean, I have some terms I like to use, but it's a peaceful place.
It's very peaceful, and that's a great way to put it, because when you get there, your mind automatically goes back to what everyone that's laying out there, what they went through. You know, they laid their blood and their life down so we could actually sit back here today and do the things that we enjoy and the things that we love, make sure their families are taken care of. So everyone out there, every grave has a meaning behind it.
You know, Commander, when we were on the way out to Arlington this morning, we drove by a lot of the memorials. And they've got the World War II Memorial, the Korean Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial that always takes my breath away. And, mm-hmm. and then there's the Air Force and Marines and all of this. But you get to Arlington Cemetery and you see all those stones. And you and I mentioned it on the bus ride. Every one of those headstones represents a life.
Yep.
And it was a life given up to honor and support our country.
Yep. And that alone, if you haven't been out there, that when you walk out there and you see that headstone, that's the first thing you're going to think of. That headstone represents, that's a human. That is somebody that laid down their life and didn't hesitate. They went over there at wherever battle it was, and they fought for our freedom.
And they gave up whatever was the rest of their life
mm-hmm.
For their country, as opposed to, certainly, I went to Vietnam and served in Vietnam almost 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still here.
Yep.
And I'm still serving in my way, but I got to have those 50 years, and I hope to the Lord I'll have some more years. But all of those people gave up their lives for this country, for this idea, for this freedom.
And you bring up a great point there, Tom. You know, I sit back, and it's been, I came home in 07, you know, so it's 13 years now almost that I've been home. And that's part of what drives me, is those that didn't come home from the battle that I won't fight for, that I want to make sure that they're not forgotten, and that wake up every day hoping that I can make sure that we live to make them feel proud of that they did lay down their life for the right reasons.
Very moving. We're speaking with Butch Whitehead, the National Commander of the DAV, on the road in Washington, D.C. We're at the DAV headquarters. And Butch, I just want to get a little more into that ceremony this morning. We're at the amphitheater, which is part of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and a lot of pomp and circumstance. A lot of the Army band was there. There was marching going on, and all the dignitaries came, and then the Vice President came.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Vice President had a great speech. You know, he really highlighted the true meaning behind Veterans Day, and he recognizes I actually had the honor of sitting beside a Medal of Honor recipient, and he did a great job recognizing that service member for his sacrifices when he was a first lieutenant. And the choices that he made to take care of his soldiers, and the Vice President did a great job at making sure that everybody knew his story.
And, of course, before he gave that speech, he laid a wreath at the tomb, and we had all those dignitaries there. And, of course, we've talked about the Tomb of the Unknown before. It's a hallowed place, and the guards up there, it's 21 steps, mm-hmm. just 21 steps they take, and then they pause, and they go again. Mm-hmm. And it just, if you haven't been there, it just takes your breath away.
It is. You have to go out and see it firsthand. You know, I know you can watch it on TV, there, YouTube or whatever. But, you know, individuals really got to go out to the Arlington Cemetery and see it firsthand. Seeing that soldier taking the 21 steps, but every one of those steps means something. There's a story behind each step and what they're doing.
And after the ceremony, each of the veteran service organizations were there, had an opportunity to present a wreath, which they took down the steps and surrounded the tomb with. And we got some pretty good photos. You were up there and got a chance to do it. What was that like?
You know, when I took that first step out and started walking across, and I actually had a really big chill that went down my back because of the meaning of where I was at and what it represents. And to be having the honor to do that meant a lot to me, and I will never forget that.
Well, Commander, we're thrilled to be here on the road with you today out here on the, I can't believe it, Veterans Day 2019. I've been to Arlington many times, but I've never seen that Veterans Day ceremony. It was fantastic. And to be able to watch you lay the wreath, that was wonderful. And now, in our upcoming segments, we're going to have on your National Service Director, a National Legislative Director, and a Deputy National Legislative Director. We're going to talk about a lot of issues that affect our veterans and our disabled American veterans, and get to meet some of your key employees.
Absolutely. And all the, hear firsthand from all the hard work that the team out here is doing each and every day. They don't get a break out here. D.C., one thing I learned really quickly about here, it never sleeps.
Never sleeps. Well, Commander, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about to your National Service Director about some issues here in Washington, D.C. at the DAV headquarters. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're on the road today in the nation's capital on Veterans Day 2019, and we're out here with the National DAV Commander. What's your name?
I think it's still Butch, I think.
It's Butch White.
Yeah.
We know him back in Minnesota as Sergeant Major and some other things, but this year you're the National Commander, and you're partway into that that shift as National Commander, and we want to talk today about some of the fine folks that are working for you, and you've got someone to introduce to us.
Absolutely, Tom. You know, it's a great honor to introduce our DAV National Service Director, Jim Marszlak, and all the great work he's doing out here.
Jim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Jim, I understood you served in the Marine Corps.
That's right. The only branch.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Always.
So that's always true?
I still PT every day.
PT every day. Okay. Well, I remember we told you this is a family show, so we've no cussing on this show. Can you tell us, National Service Director, what's that? What's your job for DAV National?
It's the best job anybody can have, for sure. I'm responsible for the service program for DAV, and I get the privilege of working with veterans all over the country, helping them with their claims before the Department of Veterans Affairs. So we have about 255 national service officers throughout the country that essentially work with me to provide those services to veterans free of charge. So if anybody's out there listening, you go to DAV.org, and you'll be able to locate a service officer, and they'll be able to help you any way they can. So I get up every day and get to do a job that I absolutely love and help other people, help other veterans. So it's a great feeling, that's for sure.
So you get to help all veterans, not just Marines.
All veterans, that's right.
Just making it clear.
Absolutely.
I want to make sure there are some, even though I was in the country club, you got to help the Air Force guys. We have lots of Army, Navy. And there's some Coast Guard people that need help occasionally.
We've eaten at your dining facilities, I think you refer to them as. We refer to them as chow halls. But I was so weird when you're in there, right? It's like, well, what do you do with your tray when you're done? Someone comes and gets it.
Well, of course they do.
Yeah, we're not used to that.
We had high-quality food, and we slept in beds. If you want to sleep on the ground, that's fine. But, Jim, let's get to work here now. What type of help do you provide for our veterans?
Well, I think the most important thing is when somebody is leaving the service, they want to make sure that while they're on active duty, that they're getting any injuries or illnesses they experience while on active duty documented. So when they get out, they're able to file a claim, right, and get the health care and the benefits that they've earned through their active military service. So I would say that's the most important thing. And a lot of people, while you're on active duty, you think, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I mean, yeah, I banged up my knee or I was at medical six times for my back in the service, or I had a small operation, but it doesn't bother me today. Many years later, it may bother you. So it's important to get those things documented as early as possible. And then when you get out, you want to make sure you find someone who could help you navigate that process.
So your first message for those people that are still serving is to make sure that if you don't tough it up, if there's a problem, go see the doc, get it in your medical record, get it documented. Because if you get out of when you do get out of the service, if you start having problems with them, you have to make sure that it's related to your service time and it's related to your service activities in order to get it covered.
Absolutely. I mean, if you file a claim within 1 year of discharge, VA will provide an examination to determine, and they'll review your records to make sure that you were treated or seen on active duty for this whatever particular condition you're filing for. And then they can make a decision. If you wait over that year, you got to prove continuity of care, meaning that you receive care while on active duty and since discharge all the way until when you filed your claim that you continue to receive care and there was no intercurrent injury that may have caused that as well. So it's all about proof, essentially. You got to prove your case. And there are folks out there to help you like DAV, and that's what's important. You got to have someone help you. A lot of people, and back to while you're on active duty and seeing the doc. A lot of people may not want to do that, right? I don't want to be a sick bay commando. We're not asking to be a sick bay. Just get it documented. Just make sure that they know that you were seen for this and it's documented in your records. And when you complete your final physical before your discharge, you really want to make sure everything's documented there, because that's the first thing VA is going to look at when they start processing your claim is, well, when they were discharged, they note that this condition existed during their active military service.
We're speaking with Jim Marsalek, National Service Director, and Stephan Whitehead, the National Commander for the DAV on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Jim, what's the process if we've got a veteran that has some kind of issue related to their service and they want some help? When they walk in your doors, what's the process? What happens?
I mean, we sit down and we interview and we ask them, what is going on? What have you done so far? And then we want to review their medical records. So we'll solicit a power of attorney, which is limited to VA affairs only. And we're able to access with that power of attorney their military service medical records and their VA claims folder to determine what has happened so far. And if nothing, we can review those service medical records and then advise them, these are claims that you should file based upon your military service. And then we tell them what evidence, we tell them what the process is going to be. So once you file a claim, VA will send you a letter asking you if you have anything else additional to support your claim. And then they'll provide you an examination. Then once that exam is complete, they'll make a decision in your case. And when they notify you that decision, they explain why they made the decision. Sometimes it's not always clear as to why they may have denied or granted. If they granted something and assigned an evaluation, they may not have explained exactly why that evaluation was established. You may think, well, I'm worse than that, or I'm not that bad. So we'll sit there and we'll talk about that and determine what's the best way to proceed. Now, DAV, all of our service officers are injured and ill veterans themselves, have been through the VA claims process. So those are the people we want on the front lines helping their fellow veterans.
First-hand experience.
Absolutely.
So, Jim, back in Minnesota, over the last 9 years we've been on the air, we tell all of our veterans to start with their county veteran service officer. And once they get the claim filed and started, then we can go to DAV, and DAV will help advocate and document the file.
Absolutely.
Is that still part of the process?
Absolutely. County veteran service officers are located throughout many of the states, and they provide an invaluable service. They're out in the communities. And that's what's nice. Veterans maybe not have to travel to a national service office, which we're co-located with VA and VA regional offices, and usually the larger city of whatever state you're residing in. So the counties, and especially in Minnesota, right, you got counties very far away from Minneapolis where the national service office is. So it's easy for them to navigate and get to a county veteran service officer. And like I said, they're in a community, so they probably already know who that person is, and they're comfortable talking to them. And then they do the warm handoff to the national service office, which I think is great. And we have a great working relationship, and we do a lot of cross-training together. So it's a great relationship, again, out there as one team helping veterans.
So, Commander, you and I have talked about over the years that the DAV works with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. They work with the county veteran service officers. They work with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. There's all kinds of organizations out there to help our veterans, but it's all fits hand in glove, doesn't it?
It does. You know, I think one of the biggest things that the DAV has going for us is the training that our service officers go through. I mean, they go through a 16, 18-month training that they have to go through and meet certain criteria, certain tests before they are accredited or certified as a national service office. So for that whole process, they're working with the benefit side, they're working with the healthcare side, they're doing the whole training piece, so when they sit down, they can take that case all the way through the process.
So, Jim, does all this sound familiar? Do all the states kind of work the same way?
They do. Although Minnesota has just a terrific program. I was up there for their convention last summer, right?
Yeah,
it was just
yeah.
this past summer in this Duluth. And the work that they do is phenomenal. I mean, and to what Butch was talking about, you know, that the training program we have is 16 months and it's on-the-job training, and you got to complete that training before you can start really getting into veterans' cases. And you're right. I mean, it's essentially the same everywhere, and we're all out there trying to do it exactly the same to help as many veterans and their families as possible.
So, Jim, we just got about a minute left. What can you tell our veterans that are be listening to the show? What can they do to get to try to receive a more favorable rating if they file a claim than if they hadn't prepared?
Go to DAV.org, right? Locate a service officer, sit down with them, and let's work this. Let's figure out the best course of action for each one of them going forward. I think that is the most important thing. Again, we've been through the process. We understand it. We provide the best training to our service officers in the country. So come down, see us. Let's see how we can help you out.
And see how you can prove up the claim and make sure that you get what you've earned by serving your country.
Absolutely. We want to provide the best possible case each time we present it to VA so we don't have any problems at all.
And, Commander, don't forget, I thought it was DAVMN.org.
Yeah, I got drop them in, though. This is DAV.org.
National Commander, so we got to change allegiance. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
But thank you so much, and keep up the great work there in Minnesota. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today, and help the Commander out. He's got a 1 year in office, and you got to show him the way. He's got to go up to Capitol Hill.
He's showing us the way. He's showing us the way.
Gentlemen, it's been great talking to you, Jim. Thanks for joining us. Commander, when we come back, we're going to talk to your National Legislative Director. This is Minnesota Military Radio on the road from Washington, D.C. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and as we said earlier in the show, we're on the road today from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, and we spent the morning up at Arlington National Cemetery with our DAV National Commander, Butch Whitehead. Butch, that was a pretty moving morning.
It was very moving, and it's a great morning, too. It was a great morning to really show the veterans, you know, what's going on.
You had a chance to be up there with your wife, who has been with you for many, many years, yeah. And going through every time you volunteer for something, like being a national commander, she has to pay the bill.
Yeah, she does, you know. But, you know, I have a great wife. She actually follows, and she's been supporting me for 17 years now. We've been together.
And you're partway into your year now as national commander, and we've been learning some things, but I want to learn something a little bit about women veterans today, and you've got another special guest for us.
You know, today it's great to have a great, great leader for the DAV. It's Joy Elam. She's our DAV National Legislative Director, and she's doing some wonderful things up here for us, for all veterans up here in D.C.
Joy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm a Minnesota native, in case you didn't know.
I heard there was a Minnesota connection, but how far back does that go?
I grew up and born and raised in Minneapolis and still have family in Minnesota.
Good for you. And somewhere along the line, you decided to join the Army.
I joined the Army in 1982.
And how long did you serve?
I served through 1985. I spent all my time in Würzburg, Germany at the 67th Evac Hospital.
Very good. How did you get to the DAV?
A friend of mine had joined the DAV and went through our national service program, and we served together, and he knew my passion for veterans and thought that I would be interested, and that was history.
So how many years have you been at the DAV now?
So it's going on 25 years.
Now I understand you're a National Legislative Director. Can you tell me what that means?
Well, I'm the legislative director, and I advocate, and my team on Capitol Hill, we make sure that our elected officials know what the veteran experience is and what's important to service disabled veterans. We make sure that they get the benefits and services they've earned.
Joy, from our vantage point in Minnesota, when we look at the Capitol Hill out here in the nation's capital, we see something that's a little bit like dysfunction. Do they know how to get along up there? Can they get anything done?
Well, we've been somewhat fortunate most of the time. The House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committees work well together, and I think we're all working for the same purpose, to make sure that, you know, all of our veterans are served well.
We have heard from our elected officials in Minnesota that when it comes to veterans issues, some of the partisan politics drops by the wayside. But this year seems to be kind of a unique year. It's not it doesn't look like a whole lot's getting done. Are they getting anything done over there?
Well, on the women veterans front, as you indicated, we've seen a lot of progress. We've been really fortunate that the House Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman, Mark Takano from California, has established a women veterans task force, and they've been conducting meetings monthly, and there are 78 congressional members a part of that task force. So we've really seen the issue of women veterans be elevated, and we're very pleased about the number of bills that have been introduced. Most recently, we just testified on Capitol Hill. There were about 13 bills just specifically on women veterans that were just passed out of markup and made it through the committee. So they are paying attention. The VSO community is united, and we really want to see comprehensive legislation passed this year.
Now, Joy, since the time you served in the Army and over the 25 years you've been part of DAV, women's issues have to have grown just along with the fact that more and more women serve today in the services.
Absolutely. And we've seen more and more women as they serve. When they leave the military service, they're turning to VA in record numbers. In fact, the number went from about 165,000 using VA healthcare system to over 500,000 just in the last couple of years. So they've had exponential growth throughout the VA because of serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, a younger cohort of women veterans coming to VA and really needing those services that, traditionally had been only offered to men. Because of their wartime service, they too are experiencing injuries and illnesses that are related that, we had only seen in men in the past.
And Commander, in your military career, I'm sure you've seen that more and more women are serving, and all the jobs are open to women now.
Absolutely. Through my time, over 27 years in the military, I've seen a big increase in female veterans or female soldiers, fighting side by side, now in combat with their male brothers.
So they're experiencing all the same things the
Absolutely.
Guys do, from traumatic brain injury to PTSD to
burn pit exposure, all the above. They, they're being exposed to everything.
But despite that, even though they are, I think the awareness hadn't been there for some time. So I really appreciate you talking about this issue and bringing this issue up specifically. DAV's done two reports, most recently one in 2018 that we released, Women Veterans, The Journey Ahead. And we have 52 recommendations in there to improve services and benefits for women veterans. What we started to notice is that while the VA is a great place to receive your care, they've got, many specialized services that wartime disabled veterans need and count on. Women veterans, those programs weren't specifically developed for women veterans. So there's been an adjustment period, and clinicians needed to learn and gain expertise in treating women veterans. So we've seen a number of changes that have occurred just over the past decade, and DAV has been part of that advocacy.
We're speaking with Joy Elam and Stephan Whitehead from the National DAV Headquarters on Veterans Day 2019 on Minnesota Military Radio. Stephan, we did a live show out at the Minneapolis VA Hospital a month or two ago, and you were supposed to be on there, but you got tied up. But we learned there that there's a new women's clinic that's under construction and will be open in the next year or two, and they can do everything except deliver babies, and, of course, they provide for that service as well.
Yeah, the VA's making some great strides and making some changes, but as Joy just alluded to, that, they're a little behind. They were for so long, their focus on all the care was all about male care. So the VA is now focusing on bringing us new care to their facilities, and Minneapolis is definitely leading the way. When we met with Director Kelly out there, he knows the importance of getting that quality of care for the female veterans there. That's why he put the big focus on getting that female veterans clinic in place.
Great support at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Joy, are you seeing that across the country, or is it a little slower to evolve?
No, I think we're seeing more and more women veterans clinics being established throughout. We know that VA has recently signed a declaration making sure that women veterans feel comfortable and safe coming to VA, and we're going to need everyone to play their part in that. We want to make sure our women veterans can take advantage, just like their male counterparts, of the VA healthcare system. I mean, one thing you may not know and your listeners may not know is, women veterans that use VA are highly service-connected. They've got increased rates for suicide compared to their civilian peers. They've also got an increased rate risk for homelessness, as well as sexual trauma. And they use high users of VA mental health services. So they really need and deserve the VA. They're going to count on it in the future, and we're pleased to see that VA is making some progress and real intention to make sure that all veterans feel welcome and have good care at VA.
So, Joy, today when you talk to the people at the VA, or you talk to our elected officials in Congress, do they understand that there's more and more women have served and they're having the same issues and they're having new issues and they need some help and they need some attention?
I think they're learning that with this focus on the Congressional Task Force that has elevated this. And I think just sharing with everyone that, you know, women often tell us that they feel invisible, that they've served too along with their male counterparts. But yet when they come back, they sometimes feel invisible and isolated. So we want to make sure at DAV that their contributions in military service are recognized, that they're appreciated, and their sacrifices are recognized and honored as well.
So you're feeling some cooperation all across the country, I hope?
I think so. I think everybody wants to do the right thing. So for today, especially during Veterans Day and this week, it's really an opportunity to make sure you ask your women veteran friends or if anyone you know that served to thank them for their service and that you know they're a veteran and you appreciate all that they've done.
Joy, one last question. We've got listeners all over Minnesota, hundreds of thousands, I think, men and women, veterans and families of veterans, and they most of them vote. I think maybe we should get them to call their elected officials in Congress and get them to pay attention to the women's issues.
Absolutely. There's a bill right now in the House, H.R. 3224, the Deborah Sampson Act, which is a comprehensive legislative measure, and we really want to see that legislation move. So everyone that can contact their elected officials and ask for their support of that bill and to make sure it moves quickly, the better it will be for women veterans.
Can we have that bill number again, please?
Absolutely. It's H.R. 3224, and it's called the Deborah Sampson Act.
Very good. Joy, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I hope everybody will take an interest in the legislative advocacy of DAV and join our Commanders Action Network at davcan.org.
Joy, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Commander, we'll be right back with another Marine, so we're going to have a little order in the studio here today.
Yeah, I think we'll have to get rehearsed a little bit more.
Please stay with us. We're on the road today from the nation's capital, recording at the DAV headquarters with the National Commander, Butch Whitehead. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. As we said earlier in the show, we're in the nation's capital today, broadcasting from the DAV headquarters with our national commander, Butch Whitehead. And, Butch, we've had some pretty good guests on, but now we've got somebody with some meat. I want to talk to this guy.
Absolutely. You know, this guy we have bringing in now has some really good information to be sharing about it sounds like we're going to talk about three main topics that are very big to our veterans today. And today we have Shane Learman, our DAV Deputy National Legislative Director.
Shane, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
I understand you're a Marine.
Yes, I am.
And you promised me you're going to behave today, so we'll stick to legislative issues, right?
Yes, we will.
All right. Well, I'm going to start out with one that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the presumptive diseases caused by Agent Orange in Vietnam. And you know I'm a Vietnam veteran. I understand there's some recent recommendations that they expand those presumptive diseases. Any update on where that stands?
No, right now there isn't. And part of the problem is it's been so long. In 2016 was the last recommendation of adding three diseases, hypothyroidism, bladder cancer, and Parkinson's-like diseases to be presumptively related to Agent Orange. No action was done for a while. Former secretary was trying to get them added. And then last December, the National Academy of Medicine came out with a new report recommending hypertension to be added to the presumptive list. We've been inquiring with the department and with the administration on getting these added. The last we heard is they're being considered, and they started considering adding the four diseases earlier this summer. We haven't received any updates to this point.
Now, is this Congress that's considering that?
No, this is actually the VA. The secretary has the authority to add those presumptive diseases, so it doesn't take a piece of legislation to add them. However, there has been legislation introduced to add them, but the secretary has the authority to add those diseases to the list. Part of the reason for the recent holdup is, one, they didn't think the former secretary had the authority to add them, and two, from what we're seeing, there was a lot of financial considerations. They thought it might cost too much to add the additional diseases.
And, of course, we've got a new, relatively new secretary of the VA, Secretary Wilkie. And I've heard that he was trying to get under control and find out what he had there and deal with some other issues. But related to the presumptives is also the Blue Water Navy issue, which Congress approved. Where's that today?
Well, For years, the VA decided not to recognize Blue Water Navy veterans starting in 97. There was a court case in January of this year called Procopio, which said that if a veteran served off the coast of Vietnam, they were considered exposed to Agent Orange within 12 nautical miles. Then Congress, as you noted, passed H.R. 299, and it was signed into law by the president on June 25th of this year for Blue Water Navy veterans. Unfortunately, Secretary of the VA placed a stay on July 1st on all Blue Water Navy cases until January 1st, 2020. Part of what troubles us about this is the law says that the secretary may place a stay on a claim. It doesn't really say they need to blanket stay every single Blue Water Navy case. However, they chose to for a few reasons. One is to get the resources in order. They're looking at about right now between 8,000 and 10,000 pending cases for Blue Water Navy veterans. We've been advocating, and we've had a press conference on Capitol Hill with several of our VSOs, and we've even asked the president to get involved to lift or modify the stay, especially for those veterans who are suffering now, who may have a terminal illness that's related to Agent Orange. You know, address those concerns, let them get their benefits and their health care now. There's no reason to make them wait again until January 1st.
And Shane, my buddies from Vietnam aren't getting any younger, and this is a serious issue. And, of course, I think there's very good proof that those ships that were within that nautical miles of Vietnam were exposed to this. So the sooner the better. Now, are they coming out of that, supposed to come out of this stay January 1st?
January 1st is when the law goes into effect. They're going to lift the stay, and they consistently tell senior leadership within the VA that on January 1, they'll start granting benefits, making decisions and granting benefits and paying veterans for the diseases related to Agent Orange based on their exposure in the Navy off the coast of Vietnam.
But it's important for our Blue Water Navy veterans to file that claim sooner, because the date they file the claim is the date it goes back to. Isn't that correct?
It can, but in H.R. 299, they allowed a potential future effective date of September of 1985. So if there's evidence in their file that it could go back further, they have that possibility. But to your point, they should be filing these cases now. Nobody should wait until January 1st. They should establish their claims related to Agent Orange Blue Water Navy exposure today.
Well, let's get to it, and let's get the VA to take care of our Navy buddies. Those guys aren't getting any younger, and we need to keep the promise.
Absolutely.
We're speaking with Shane Lehrman and Butch Whitehead from the National DAV headquarters on Minnesota Military Radio. Commander, we've talked, I think, on the show a little bit. There's some research going on at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. That's the test, the study's just about over, but they may have found a cure for the Gulf War syndrome, which is, that's 25 years or so coming. But, Shane, I want to talk to you. More recent veterans have been exposed to burn pits. And when I think of the burn pits, I think of the problems we've had over the last 50 years for Vietnam veterans and the exposure to the herbicide Agent Orange. What can we do to prevent the current veterans and the current serving people so they don't have to wait that long?
Well, number one thing is we can get legislation passed now to recognize it. And one of the reasons it hasn't caught quite up yet as far as veterans exposed to burn pits in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Djibouti, some of the science is still a little lacking. There is some information out there showing there are some conditions related. However, we think that more can be done now and not wait another potentially 2 years for the studies to be done to determine if there's any diseases related. We have an idea called a concession of exposure, and it's recognizing that exposure to burn pits if you were physically within Iraq, Afghanistan, or Djibouti. One, you were there, you were exposed. Two, VA has already got a list of chemicals and toxins they're recognizing as being related to that exposure. So we want that to be recognized as they were automatically exposed to. And three, they would still have to get a medical opinion from a physician to say if their current disability was caused by those toxins or chemicals. But it's a place to start now instead of waiting potentially two more years to get a study done to show if there is a disease related or not. And as you noted, time is of the essence. We don't need to wait 10, 20, 40, 50 years like some of the Blue Water Navy cases.
Shane, how do we get it jump started? How do we turn up the heat so that the Congress and the VA will understand they need to move on this now?
We have a lot of things through DAV's Commanders Action Network. We need people to get involved, contact your congressional and senator staffs in your state, and make noise about it. Let people know that this is a real condition affecting our most current generation of veterans.
So, Commander, for all our listeners back home, get on the horn and talk to their elected officials, state and national, and tell them this is an issue. Let's not make it a long-term issue like Agent Orange.
Absolutely. You know, and Shane and Joy both talked about it. You know, they can go to the DAV.org, go to the DAVcan.org website, and you can see all the different issues that we have going on. But that's really the first start. You want to know what's going on? We'll talk about the burn pits. We've talked about women veterans. DAVcan.org is a great starting point to really go. And then call that elected official, call the representative, call their senator, wherever it may be. Make sure that their voice is being heard.
Shane, I want to thank you for taking time to join us today, and I promise you when we call you from Minneapolis next time, we're going to give you more time to talk to us about all the issues going on out here at the VA and in Congress. So thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Commander, we're just about out of time. You're partway into your term as commander of the National DAV and their million members. What do you think you're going to be able to accomplish throughout the course of your term?
You know, going into it and, you know, starting the year off, seeing that the Mission Act was signed into law, I was really excited about that. But now seeing and being the commander, there's a lot of work that needs to be done with the Mission Act. So I'm hoping that over the next few months that I have left in my term that we can continue to get more work done on the Mission Act. The IT is a big issue. You know, we have our pre-9/11 caregivers that are still not able to get enrolled to the caregivers, and we got to get that fixed. You know, we got to make sure that the VA is getting that IT stuff fixed and make sure that they're taken care of.
Well, Commander, I want to wish you luck on the rest of your term, and thank you very much for inviting Minnesota Military Radio and our team out here to witness placing the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown. That was something I'll never forget.
Same here, and I want to thank you, Tom, and your team, you know, for coming out here today and bringing my voice back to Minnesota. I'm greatly appreciative of it.
Well, and hopefully now we can bring some national DAV voices to Minnesota Military Radio on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Commander.
Thanks, Tom.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, my co-host and National Commander of the DAV, Butch Whitehead, Jim Marsalak, Joy Elam, Shane Learman, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk to the Minnesota native, retired General Joseph Votel, and visit with Minnesota's American Legion Commander. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota MilitaryRadio.com.